This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Drawn to this story from the Star Tribune, Reed Forgrave wrote about Joshua Preston, specialist Joshua Preston. I'll read the first two graphs. A Minnesota National Guard soldier, after being nudged to remove a Facebook post that criticized the Guard for a tepid public response to last week's insurrection in the U.S. Capitol, is raising questions with leadership about how the organization's roots out right-wing extremism within its own ranks. The soldier is also questioning how the military conflates nonpartisan speech with apolitical speech. And Joshua is with us. And now Joshua wants to make this point. He's offering this up as someone who is in the Guard, but he's not representing the military. This is his own personal opinion. And Joshua, I appreciate you coming on. Can you expand on this, on what you were hearing and what is drawing your concern?
Yeah, well, thank you so much for, allowing to speak with you today. Part of my concern is that what happened on January 6th of this year was an insurrection. They were acts of sedition. And to be a member of the military, to be a citizen, to be someone who's taken an oath to the Constitution, to be greeted with only silence from the military at all levels is disconcerting. And frankly, there's no other way for me to phrase it. It's heartbreaking. It's fundamentally heartbreaking. And for the only anything in writing that I had seen from the National Guard occurred the day afterward, which was a reminder saying, tell soldiers about the social media policy. And to refer to what happened at the Capitol euphemistically as the timely events occurring on the national stage, for us to be so vague in our language about what is unprecedented in U.S. history that people were able to accomplish what not even the Confederacy could accomplish, and that is bringing the flag of the Confederate States into the halls of Congress and threaten the lives of our elected officials. And so all I did was I went on my Facebook account and I wrote a very simple four-sentence statement saying, it shouldn't be political to call this what it is. And rather than sending out social media etiquette policy memos, we should be doing more to identify extremism within our ranks. We should understand why we want to discourage political speech among members, which I think is a conflation of what they really mean is partisan speech. But when we say political speech, I think that has a chilling effect, because what would an apolitical conversation look like? To be engaged in political discourse includes everything from talking about whether or not people should wear a bicycle helmet when they ride downtown, to whether or not democracy is a good system of governance that we should maintain. And I don't even know if it's possible for us to maintain our oath to the Constitution without engaging in speech that would be regarded as political.
So let me pick up on part of what you wrote.
Yeah.
You know as well – what's that, sir?
No, please, continue, yeah.
Okay. You know as well as I do that there are Boogaloo Boys and other anti-government types in our ranks. And so instead of sending out social media etiquette memos, perhaps you should be court-martialing and discharging those who are publicly siding with insurrectionists and traitors to the Constitution. Are individuals in leadership well aware of this, knowing specifically individuals who are saying these things, who are acting out on these, and they are looking the other way.
I don't know if I can comment on that specifically, because all I can testify to is what I see as a lower enlisted. And what I see is a culture that encourages silence or that engages in a certain policing of speech that can have a chilling effect on engaging with topical issues of the day. One of the motivations for sending out this the social media policy memo on January 7th was because Joint Forces Headquarters, my understanding, had received or had acknowledged or documented several instances of violations of this policy. And I think what would be necessary for not only rehabilitating, I think, the reputation of the National Guard, but also going to great lengths to ensure that we address issues of extremism within our ranks, is for National Guard leadership and members of the legislature and members of the public to create a commission where we can actually go through documented social media policy violations and identify individuals who either on or around January 6th of this year engaged in speech that was encouraging, supportive, or otherwise condoned what we saw on the Capitol steps, in the hallways, on the U.S. Senate chamber floor.
Why don't you think that's happening? A lot of us in our jobs, if we offer up outrageous, insulting, and dangerous comments, we would lose our jobs. Why isn't that happening? Is it a matter of numbers? Is it a matter of people looking away? What do you think?
I'll say this, that when I originally wrote my memo, and I decided to hand it to someone who would give up the chain of command, there was an impression, even a direct acknowledgement, that it would just merely be thrown in the garbage can. And I think there's a culture, I think there's a culture in the military, and we've seen this with other issues, such as sexual assault, where once one person does the right thing and reports something, or says, hey, this is not something that makes me feel good, you know, you can maybe count on the next person to send it up, but eventually it's going to cross paths with someone who maybe isn't as passionate about it, isn't as interested, doesn't agree, might write it off as a non-issue, and therefore it gets stopped, right? And so after being left with the more being told that if it's handed to the next level in the chain of command, that it's likely to end up in a garbage can, well, what should one do in a situation like that? And that's why I don't think there's necessarily like actions aren't being taken when people engage in this kind of speech, because maybe or engage in inflammatory comments or go on Facebook and speak favorably of the Boogaloo Boys or any other extremist organization is because, well, one, we want to hide behind the shield of saying of discouraging political speech in all of its forms, even though, you know, we can distinguish between what is partisan and what is political, and, you know, and why are we afraid to call out or to be suspicious or suspectful of people who are support organizations whose entire basis of existence is to engage in mass insurrection and violence against the government, i.e. the Boogaloo Boys. And so I think it's a broader cultural problem, and I think it's something that we as an organization need to engage actively and honestly with. Why is it that there is a well-documented and very uncomfortable connection between domestic terrorism and individuals with past or present military service, from Timothy McVeigh up to the present, to organizations led by Marine veterans plotting to kidnap and execute the governor of Michigan, to a man in military tactical gear and zip ties walking the U.S. Senate chamber floor. I've juried in just wandering there without a motive, but wandering there with the purpose of taking hostages. Why is this? Are these all bad apples? Are they individual actors? Or is there a bigger cultural problem that makes maybe people with military backgrounds or experience susceptible to these particular extremist organizations? And the Department of Homeland Security has provided an answer to that, and that is yes. And they've published reports from 2009 to the present acknowledging that that is the case. And all I'm wanting
chatting
to
with
do,
us. Let me just jump in here, Josh. With Specialist Joshua Preston, member of the Minnesota Guard, who is concerned. You can hear that about the extremist views that are within some members of the Guard, the power they've had, and those same views throughout the country. I'm going to try to be as direct as possible. Do you think people in leadership position agree with what these individuals are saying, and that's why it's not addressed?
I don't know. But the fact that there was a week-long silence, and the fact that there remains still a silence, that we don't have that we will have briefs on mental health, or on particular benefits of being in the military, or briefings on sexual assault, but we don't have anything. We have no briefings, no space in which we bring soldiers together to talk about our oath, to talk about domestic extremism. You know, is that silence? What does that silence mean? I'm not going to accuse anyone in the chain of command of being sympathizers or, in fact, members of these organizations, but we need to be reflective of what our silence says to people. When we wait a week to call what happened at the Capitol what it was, people read into that. Extremists read into that. Our community reads into that. My neighbors read into that. And that matters. How are we going to be a successful organization if there's this constant fear that in moments of great, not just moral, but constitutional crisis, we have to wait a week to evaluate it? We would never wait that long. In fact, we did not wait that long when addressing other attacks on domestic soil, such as the bombing of Pearl Harbor or the 9/11 terrorist attacks. And yet when it happens here by people we might know, or at least we can recognize a part of our own communities intersecting with the people storming the Capitol, we become much more reluctant to speak forcefully, boldly, and clearly. And so
I'll finish with this, sir. Yeah. Are you going to stay with the Guard?
Absolutely.
If you have these concerns about individuals, do you want to stay with the organization?
How else will we change the organization unless we have people who are willing to identify and call out these problems, be present? We have to be part of the solution. I mean, I don't think it's right. I don't think it's reasonable to say, hey, here's a problem that exists in this organization. Good luck with it. Bye-bye. No, I mean, in my 12-page memo, I even included recommendations of what we can do, from briefings to having commissions that can work to review the social media policy and identify and engage with individuals who may have documentation of liking Boogaloo Boy posts or voicing support for the insurrection at the Capitol. I've made proposals, and I want to be part of the solution, because that's what I think we need to do. It's not enough to say this is wrong, but to actually say, all right, well, how do we make it right, and what can I do personally, individually, to make it right? And that's what I'm trying to do now, and so I want to continue to do. So no, I'm not going to leave the National Guard. I took an oath. This is me adhering to it.
Joshua, I'm glad you spoke out. These words we should know about. We should know about what's taking place. We shouldn't hesitate to do it, and I really appreciate you coming on the air and offering up answers to our questions. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much for your time, and have a nice rest of your day. Thank you.
You too. Joshua Preston with us on Newstalk 830 WCCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.